listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. Every Monday from 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to noon, my guest and I will bring you answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. And what better way to do that than simply live it up? Our guest this week is Charlotte Ward, a coach in several helping fields for over three decades. Charlotte is currently consulting with clients nationwide on how to make their life happier. She and colleague Terry E. Belf collaborated in the book, Simply Live It Up, Brief Solutions to Help People Prepare for Rapid Changes in the 21st Century. Charlotte is has a coaching certificate with Success Unlimited Network and a master practitioner in neurolinguistic programming. She engages in public speaking, editing, and specifically using hypnosis to help people with everything from stopping smoking to designing your own destiny. Charlotte, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. I've had a chance to read part of the book. I'm about a third of the way through, and I got to tell you, I like it, and it's helping me feel like I need to be living it up a little more.
What we enjoyed doing about the book specifically was designing it to be light and airy and easy to accomplish the things we suggest.
Well, and I got that. I got it. It's easy to read, but also it really touches on the power of purpose. So let me start with the question of how do we know our life purpose? How do we know if we've got it or if we're still looking for it?
I wonder if decision-making is easy or hard. I would say that might point to whether you know your purpose. I believe that we all need to know our center, that then we can live fruitful lives. If we begin from the inside out to determine both genetically what we were meant to do and then environmentally, behaviorally, emotionally, what we want to do in life. So the questions I ask are, who am I and what shall I do while I'm here?
Okay. Well, when did you figure out who you are?
Well, I wish I could tell you that I'm like the little child who says, I want to be a doctor, and then heads in that direction, knows from the beginning what it's going to be. But it came on gradually, I would say. I knew that there were things I loved to do and things that didn't suit me so well. And it was during the coaching training and the NLP that I began to hone my own life purpose statement. So many people know in a nebulous way whether something suits them or not. Do you want milk, juice, or tea
right
for dinner? And that points to something central, of course. But what I love about coaching is that we help people hone a statement that exactly expresses their life purpose.
All right. Well, give us an example. I know as you were saying that, I was thinking about the fact I was just recently with my dad, and I made the joke asking him, have you figured out what you're going to do when you grow up? So I'm just saying it could be a variety of different ages. And I know that with the show, we try to gear a lot towards our kids, towards raising a family. But at the same time, if we haven't figured it out yet ourselves, or do we really have to?
Well, I think it makes for a happier, a healthier life. Of course, people can go around in a muddle and not know where they're going and regret what they've been and done in the past. That is a way to live. It doesn't appeal to to me. I'm busy helping people find exactly where they're going, dismiss the bad feelings of the past, which are useless, keep the learning close to them, mm-hmm. all their precious learning, and then go forward directly on the path of purpose into their future. So you ask a question, what does a life purpose sound like, a statement?
Right.
I heard a Miss America contestant once say her life purpose. She said, I love to sing opera, and I love to entertain others, and I love to earn money doing what I want to do. So it contains an other element, mm-hmm. a self element, and something that propels the person toward the future, toward growth and learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I guess, for example, mine, and I have said this and believed it for many years, is, you know, my life purpose is to make a positive difference in the lives of millions of people.
And, Alan, I would then ask you as a coach, and what does that do for you personally?
What does that do for me personally? That's a great question. I mean, I feel great.
You gave me the extroverted answer, and I'm
right.
searching not only for what you do for others, but what will you do for yourself?
Well, that's a good question. I think that doing that is one of the things that I get great pleasure from. But at the same time, I mean, I try to also hone it down to doing the same type of thing for my own family and for myself, as far as constantly looking at what I can do to make a positive difference in my own life as well. So if that and that may be as a father, that may be as as a husband, as an employer, or just as another human being, you know, as a citizen, you know, there's so many different levels. You know, it can be on a spiritual level. It can be on a very business-like level as well.
Now, with those ideas in your heart and soul and your whole body right now, in your spirit, just think that something, some tricky question would come along. And here is what you can judge by. Now you can say, will this decision, will this choice make a positive benefit to me, to my family, and to others?
Mm-hmm.
And if the answer is no, you say, not for me.
Right. Right. Which is
no,
a great,
thank you.
No, and that's a great point, because it's one of the things that I have brought up when I'm working with a family where they have an at-risk child, and the parent starts explaining to me why things have to be done a certain way. Well, I want this to happen, and I want this and this and this. And then my question to them will be, and how is that in the best interest of your children?
And I would first, I think that's wonderful, Alan. And how I would want to engage further is, what does the child want? What is the child's purpose in life? Because if you could get that and the agreement of the whole family, just think what power the whole family would have.
Absolutely. Well, that, and that's a perfect follow-up. You know, in other words, once they're able to tell me what their belief is as to why that's in the child's best interest, then I think that's a perfect follow-up. And after they explain that, to then say, and does the child see this the same way? What is it that they want? Now, I understand that at times, at a certain, you know, at different ages, what they want and what they need might not necessarily be congruent. But
well, if you what I like to do is work with the family as a unit as well as individuals, because what you will find is if you're in a session just with the child might discover what purpose is driving that behavior and find a positive outlet for the same purpose. If the child loves risk, loves learning risky things, then perhaps there is a way to guide the child toward doing exciting things that are not destructive in the long haul. In other words, you have a basis for going once you know what the child's bent is in life.
So, yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, if they're looking towards something and they're taking unusual risks, say by experimenting with drugs, maybe they need to be taking risks from the standpoint of the feeling of overcoming public speaking or of maybe riding a motorcycle and maybe taking it to the next level, but still in a safe environment. You know, maybe they've been riding but they want to race or something like that. Yes, there is some risk which gets some adrenaline going. How can we shift that adrenaline to be a positive adrenaline rather than a negative? So, yes, I agree.
I think that we cannot second-guess another human being. No one likes to be second-guessed is my assumption here, a coaching assumption. So I would go to the child. I would keep turning to the child. What do you want? What does this mean to you? If you do this and you follow to your future line, where will this lead you? Because the only thing that will stick with any of us is what we decide for ourselves. I believe that anyway.
No, I agree. And now, if you have a family that is trying to work out their life purpose or their the goals that they're setting for themselves. Is there an age or at what point do you feel that it is best to include the children in that process?
I think very early, surprisingly early, because even a little child knows whether it wants a banana. I'm talking about a six-month-old, whether it's ready for a little piece of chicken or it wants to eat banana. Children make choices very early on. So, as you said, within the guidelines of what is safe for the child, I believe in giving the child as many options as possible. And then the careful parent watches to see what the child wants and then encourages, of course, in that direction.
Okay. Now, what are some of the biggest differences that you see in somebody who knows their life purpose versus somebody who is still looking for it?
Oh, well, what a lovely question that. I find that people who are still looking live in a muddle. They often regret. They may have low self-esteem. Wonder what decision to make, and they're often not satisfied with the results they get. That doesn't spell happiness to me.
No.
What I believe is that we must, first of all, respect ourselves and accept that we're doing the best we can do, and give ourselves credit for all the passion and talents and ideals that we have, as well as everyone else, give them respect and acceptance and credit also.
Right.
And then determine, well, I have a very quick way of determining life purpose because in the first meeting in my coaching practice, this is what we do because we feel that we can't help people guide their lives anywhere without knowing who they are to begin with.
Well, and where they want to go.
Then they can determine where they want to go. And oftentimes people will know, well, that isn't my path or that isn't my path, but sometimes people are torn. And that is an indication that to me at least, that if we worked with life purpose, we would know where we're going. We would know how to guide our lives. I love the word design our lives because I think humans like to be in charge. We like to think we have some control over our lives.
Yep.
And perhaps a chaotic and expanding universe, we want to grab onto something that's a sure thing.
Well, why don't you walk us through from the standpoint of a new client, and what are some of the questions that you're going to ask them to help them understand a little bit about who they are so that you can help steer them to that purpose that they're looking for?
Well, I guide them by asking them to go into stories of times when they were the most fulfilled and the most delighted with life. And then I glean from that statements that when they work with them, they can hone their own purpose statement. So it's like building a statement. They put out the building blocks in words, and of course words are metaphors for whole experiences, for what they saw and tasted and smelled and felt and heard in these various high point experiences. And then we glean from that what's meaningful in their lives.
Well,
Alan, may I use my own purpose statement as an example?
Well, absolutely. In fact, I was going to ask you to give us an example of someone, and you can certainly be you, but of someone where they may have thought that their purpose was one thing, and then by going through the process, they realized that their calling was something completely different.
Yes, I think that calling is part of it. As you will see from my statement, it's more generalized. It's more, if you will, philosophical than just the calling alone, because the calling to me says doing. And we combine, and the SUN program, the Success Unlimited Network Coaching, we combine doing and being, because I believe that people need a balance of doing and being in order to achieve their full sense of self. So, an example.
Okay.
My life purpose is to. I don't apologize for this, but I will tell the audience that I write a lot of poetry. I write books. I edit books. So words are beautiful to me the way that musical notes are to musicians and composers. So this is a little fancy maybe for some. There are some plainer statements, but this is mine. My life purpose is to realize a Xanadu, where love, learning, nature, ethics, and insight ebb and flow with grace. Now, how do I apply that to what kind of exercise am I going to choose to keep me healthy, strong, and happy?
Right.
And if it, let's say that because I live in Malibu in a beautiful environment with a vista, I can walk along a private road for exercise. And I say, is this a Xanadu? And I have to tell you that I sought this Xanadu for 15 years. It was on my goals before I finally got here. So yes, walking in this environment is a Xanadu for me. Love, yes. I feel love every time I walk outside. I love where I am. Mm-hmm. Learning. I'm always seeing a new bird or a new plant or wondering, or I go through what I'm going to say and do in my day. Nature. Yes, I'm out in nature and the beauty, particularly looking at the Pacific, which pleases me no end. Ethics. Is, and in this case, of course, my exercise is ethical, but sometimes I use ethics. Is this an ethical thing that guides me? And is this an ethical decision? If it isn't, I say no to it. And do I get insight? Yes, I get insights, because as I go along, my more than conscious mind is working on solutions for questions I've asked. And the ebb and flow has to do with the water, and am I in the flow of nature and life? And with grace, am I doing something that has that makes me feel graceful emotionally and spiritually as well as physically? And the answer is yes. So walking is a good thing. Running is not. It hurts my knees.
Okay, well, now how does this tie in to your coaching a client? So, for instance, you now, having found this yourself, how are you able to use this to maximize what you're able to give to your clients?
For me, coaching is strategically helping the client ask the questions and find the answers. I have no answers personally for anyone else. I have a purpose statement, and I'm always answering questions along the line of what works in my life. But for others, I come with respect and give them credit for what they've done and their wish to evolve in their own lives. And so my goal as a coach is to cheer these people on, to let every client feel centered and whole. I have some other examples of purpose statements that might be of use here, and I'm just looking on my computer to give you an example. One is, my purpose in life is to facilitate the revitalization of meaningful growth and unity.
That's beautiful.
Another one, this is from a Spanish gentleman, to love and perceive in an intellectually ambitious way, and to be mature enough to feel emotional truth and dignity, helping others play their best.
See, that's great too.
And here's another one. My life purpose is to gratefully create and share beauty, joy, and energy through joyous connections.
Oh, I like that. And I hope that a lot of the listeners are listening. And again, if you're driving and you can't write these things down, do understand you can go back to the website. You can listen to it again, or as we get closer to the end, we'll let you know how to get a hold of Charlotte, because some of these things are also in the book. Now, I want to take a break right now, but when we come back, I'm going to ask Charlotte some listener questions. Fortunately, we had three different listener questions that were emailed in to us. So we will be right back in 1 minute with Charlotte Ward. West Shield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you. All right, we're back, and we are talking with Charlotte Ward, and we are talking about simply living it up. So, and that is the name of her book, and we have some listener questions, one of which is, as an 11th grade English teacher, I have tasked my students to write papers on the topic, what do you think the future holds for you, and where do you see yourself in 10 years? Increasingly, over the years, the responses are overwhelmingly, I don't really know where or what I want to do with my life. This saddens me not to see them come back without something more positive. It says that I am constantly trying new approaches to inspire my students. Do you have any views on this or methods that might help me motivate these kids to have a better outlook in what they want in the future?
Oh, that is an impressive assignment for them. I love the assignment.
Yeah, me too.
First of all, on a personal level, I would be delighted if you're in the LA area, if I could get to your class and you would like for me to appear, I would be delighted to lead a life purpose hour for them, and perhaps we could find some ways that would turn the lights on for their future.
Well, this sounds like this is the first announcement of the Charlotte Ward Tour coming at you right here, coming at you right here from Answers for the Family, the Charlotte Ward Tour coming to your high school now. I would love that.
To a high school near you.
To a high school near you, the Charlotte Ward Tour. So this is great.
There are loving messages that we can give, and perhaps you as a teacher could say, you know some of the things that you like, and you, if you think about it, you know some of the things you need or you think you need.
Mm-hmm.
And you know some of the times when things haven't gone so well. So if you look between those two, what works and what doesn't work, what makes you feel full and satisfied, and then I love the teacher's implicit expression of respect for the students. It's, where are you going?
Right.
And she might, I wonder if it would help to say, who are you and what are you designed to do in this life? I wonder if perhaps expounding on the questions might give the kids some ideas. And then they could go through and highlight some of the juicy words and notice where those words lead them in an essay.
Right. No, you're right. I like that. If they start with the question of more of who I am and get that out of the way, it might be easier once you know who you are to know where you're going to be in 10 years. So I think that's a great little addition to her topic question.
Alan, I love the way you clarified. Indeed, it is my whole philosophy. We have to start with our core, and I believe if we know the core, then 10 years will be easy. But if it all looks the same out there, the whole future, then it doesn't much matter what we do. You see how personally destructive that could be, or at least confusing. So if we begin with who are we and what do we want to do, what is our meaning, what gives us meaning and satisfaction, then no matter what comes up, we can find our way, no matter what crisis or joy.
Well, now there you go. Now all we need to do is write a rap with those questions so that they'll listen to it, okay?
Maybe the kids could.
That's right. That could. Yeah,
maybe
you're right.
Instead of an essay, they would write a rap or a poem, or they would dance it, or they would sing it, or they would draw it.
Exactly. Whatever it is that is their form of communication. I love that.
Or make a cake or a cookie that is my life purpose cookie.
I like that one, too. Now, but the only thing is,
I thought it would be good.
Yeah, I was going to say now, but now I'm getting hungry. Well, let me jump in. I love that answer. Let me jump in with another question, because I want to remind everybody, I love the fact that you email in questions. I love where it takes us. The questions are bright. They're intuitive. And it really tells me not only that you're listening, but that you care about what it is that we're trying to do with families. So please keep them coming in. Now, another question that came in says, I read a statistic last week that today's teens are 60% less empathic than previous generations. That is a staggering number. How do you address this lack of empathy in your work?
I'm wondering if that points to purpose again. My immediate answer is, if we value ourselves and we know that we, in essence, are all one, then it's the golden rule. We value everything else. So I would go for self-value at the beginning, self-esteem. What turns you on? What makes you happy? What fulfills you? And then what? Then you could lead out to what fulfills others. We just need to begin at the beginning, and the beginning is our core. I was reading Science News, a science journal, last night, as a matter of fact, mm-hmm. and it said that everything points to a single beginning for all life on Earth. So I suppose something like an amoeba or a one-celled creature, and from that exponentially has led all of the forms of life on Earth. And that means we're all connected. Mm-hmm. That means we have the same, we share proteins that are the same, and certainly humans share a lifetime that's about the same number of years, same number of breaths. And if we start asking questions of the kids, of what do you share with another, how do you respect yourself, and then how do you respect others, start at the beginning, start at the core, and it will, and the energy, I believe, will travel out as if you had put a stone in water and watch the ripples go around and around.
Wow. I got to tell you, when I read this question, I was surprised. And I think that, and I almost want to disagree in the sense that I'm, you know, I immediately thought, who are they talking to? You know, which kids are they talking to? Are they talking to the ones that are, you know, that are somehow reaching the news? Or are they actually going out and talking to the kids? Because I know that what I'm finding is that there are a lot of kids, and maybe it's because of our economy, maybe they're recognizing a little bit more what's going on in the world, but I'm hearing a lot of kids that really are more empathetic about what's going on in the world, and they do seem to be, as they get more knowledgeable, concerned about what's going on in another country, in another culture. So I'm hoping that one of the positives that's coming out of our problems with our economy is that we are getting more focused, that the next generation is seeing, you know, that it is tough, and it may be getting tougher at not just here for us, but all around the world. So I'm hoping that the percentages that they're coming up with, or these statistics, are maybe not accurate, or maybe they're going off of something that's a little bit older, because I feel like we're headed in the other direction. I think that we are raising a generation of people who are caring more about what's going on in the world.
My personal experience here is that I'm the president of Malibu Woman's Club, which is a local group of about 30 women whose service is to provide scholarships of $1,000 each to 12 outstanding students in our community, high school seniors, every year, and to also give prizes, first and second prizes, to fifth grade students. Nice. In an essay contest. And we had our luncheon last week to celebrate these students. And Alan, they are the most magnificent people in this world.
See?
We judge on high marks, of course, on school activities, and on community service. I don't know when these children sleep. They give. They're generous. They're smart. They're active. You could hardly ask for anything more from a human being than what they're already doing at age 16.
Mm-hmm.
So my experience has been stellar.
And that's great. And I think that's what we need to be airing. That's what we need to, as far as getting the word out. And that's what I try to do with the Catch Them Doing Something Good, because what you're telling me is, you know, your women's group has caught these kids doing something good, and they're rewarding them for it. If we can focus on that, I think that we're going to find that this statistic that they're using may be inaccurate, because I don't think we're focusing on the right things, at least what we're getting the word out to the people.
At least people like these outstanding students are seeding the community with energy and vibrations that are excellent.
Well, let's keep shining a light on that.
Yes. So. As a matter of fact, you're saying shining a light makes me think that life purpose, I consider the driver for each person, and each portion of the meeting, or in the English teacher's lesson plan, it could be each part of the lesson is an affirmation of the person's self-interest, of desires and intentions, and then how they can be spread in the world. I think it's important. What you and I began this conversation with is thinking, what's in it for me, mm-hmm. and then how can I give it out? So how can I shine the light of consciousness on myself and my actions and my desires and my joy, and then how can I let the light shine in the world?
Exactly. Well put. I like it. Well, in going back to what we were talking about doing a wrap, we have another question, and I think that maybe doing the wrap is our answer. But it says, I'm a parent of two teens who, of course, think they know so much more about everything than I do. Your formula seems so perfect and easy, but if I suggest it, it will certainly be ignored. How do you suggest I introduce your message to them in a way that they will accept? And I think
I would begin at the beginning. I would begin with coming for the parent to come from, I respect you. I respect your life purpose. What I would ask questions. What do you think this will get you? What do you want to do? How will this affect the rest of your life? I would just go to the question form, because what that does, as soon as the other is given the space to answer, it implies respect. It implies, I as a parent, as a friend parent, I want to listen to you. I love you, and I want to hold my hand down so that you can step and you can go where you need to go.
There, yeah, I like that. And in essence, what you're saying is that rather than say, here's a formula that I as your parent believe is one for you to follow, it's more of discussing bits and pieces of it and asking them what their opinion is of this part of it or that part of it. Does that sound about right?
It's so right, Alan. How can we presume to know what's right for another person? How can we? If we love ourselves and we know how much we want self-respect and love and listening, then if we give in that same vein, we're going to have a heartfelt connection. It is the greatest gift we can give to a child. It's far greater than giving them even an education or an iPhone. It is giving them the life and breath to live their lives the way they want to, and to know that they're loved and honored for it.
Exactly.
It isn't a fast path, Alan.
Oh, I know.
It's not a fast track. It is one question, one breath, one listening at a time.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at the time, and I'm realizing that time has flown by. But I've got a question, and if we have time, let me know. But, I mean, in about 5 minutes, can you lead listeners through an abbreviated trip, taking an inventory of their present, preserving their past and moving them onto a path of purpose into their own potential? Is that something
I would love to.
Okay. If we can do that in about 5 minutes, I would love to, because I think that touches on so many of the things that you discuss in the book.
Thank you, Alan. My pleasure. I would introduce a caveat for those of you who are driving. You can imagine, but keep your eye on the road.
Yes, please do.
Because this is hypnotic, of course. So be in the place where you are, and then turn to your past, which is usually back and to the left behind you. And notice that you can separate bad feelings and bad memories and make a pile of those and learning. And for the moment, with the dark pile, let it begin to float. So feed some helium into it and watch it as it rises. And the more it rises, the lighter it becomes. And then give a big puff and blow it out, give it to the universe. And then turn your attention to the learning, and that means your education, the books you've read, the meaning in your life, the ahas you've had, anything that you treasure that you want to keep with you as a resource. And hug the resources into you, physically hug yourself and hug those resources into you. And then turn toward your future, and usually people keep their future ahead of them and off to the right. Now, in this position, you're in the present moment, so take that in and spread your arms wide and turn in a circle and say, "This is mine." So it's as if you were encapsulated in a cylinder where, as far as your arms can reach, belongs to you. It's a boundary, if you will. This is mine. I am I. And you can pat yourself all over, too. Some people say, "This is me." The English teacher and I are going to say, "This is I." And then you determine, here I am in the present. I'm breathing. And this is who I am. And then you look toward your future. And what takes you to the future is the path of purpose. So pretend you know your life purpose, that you're going to go toward the future on the path of purpose. And the future represents your potential. So imagine what you want to do and be in the future. It can be a near future or a far future. Doesn't matter, but just sometime. And it'll look a little hazy, as the future does. Mm-hmm. And then, as you're called to do so, begin to walk toward that future with all of your resources in place. You can jump or leap, or you can take one tiny baby step at a time until you arrive. Breathe and be. Communicate with those people and those systems in this world. This is your place of genius, of clarity, of purpose. And then gather the good feelings all around you and within you like a mantle of light. And from here, if you turn right again, you see a farther future. And like the god Janus, you can also turn back and see from whence you came. And you see that you traveled the path of purpose. And you feel good. Now, the message is this. We can't live in the future.
Right.
But you can keep the good feelings with you. So gather them all about you. You are a being of light. You imagine that your cells are 3 or more trillion cells all lit up on purpose in your life, and you make your way back to a little beyond where you were when you began this exercise, because the present has moved forward into the future. You have all the good feelings around you and within you. And you go about your day fulfilled with wholeness and joy, sharing your light with the world. Thank you, Alan.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your wisdom. And I know that you like to end meetings with a question.
Thank you for reminding me.
And
yes,
please do.
My question to those of you listening is, what have you learned today? Keep it with you.
And what I want to add to that is, keep it with you, keep it inside you, but also, I would like to welcome you to share some of those via email, okay? And I will read some of them next week. So, again, for those of you, I mean, if you're driving, obviously you're not going to try to write that down now, but if there are answers that you want to share, I welcome your answers. Please email them to us, and I would love to share them next week and have some people just tell us a little bit about what you learned from this, what you learned today, and what you learned from Charlotte. So with that, Charlotte, thank you so much for coming on. I would love to have you on again, so please keep doing what you're doing, because I think you are helping so many people out there.
Thank you. And I think you can tell it was certainly on my purpose to be with all of you today. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I just want to tell everybody that you can view more about Charlotte and her book at www.charlottewardenterprises.com. Great, Charlotte. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. All right. Now, I also encourage all of you to listen and to share. Share Answers with the Family with your family, your friends, and associates who could benefit from the wealth of information provided by our guests. And if you go to our website, www.answers4thefamilyblog.com, you can listen to each show as well as provide information in regards to links directly to our guests, to their websites. Again, if you weren't able to write that down on how to reach Charlotte, if you go to our website, we will have a link there so that you'll be able to reach her. In addition, you can also submit questions for upcoming guests. You can submit topic suggestions or for suggestions for guests for this show. So again, I am so thankful for all of you out there. And until next week, seek to catch someone doing something good every day. I know that I am. Have a great week.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.